It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, summer Friday in the greatest city ever created, New York City. How we doing, Evan and Tiki, until 6:30 tonight? You've got New York Yankee baseball as they open up a chance to get fat against some bad teams at home. We'll talk some football throughout this show, including a lot of people are very angry at something serious. The Madden quarterback rankings. We'll get to that later, as well as the new NFL kickoff rule. We'll get to the Yankees later. But the New York Mets are about to begin a stretch of the season that I'm labeling, Tiki, the month of survival. Because the Mets have fought their way into a playoff race. They're right there. And I think most Met fans would agree, I think you, Tiki, as an IBO, would agree, that the New York Mets have to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, we are all going to be massively disappointed.
No doubt.
They have built us up enough. They have given us enough great moments. They have shown enough fight where if they are not playing on October 1st, we're all pissed off. So we all agree on that, right?
Yes, definitely. They put together a good enough team to be a playoff team.
Absolutely. So to get there, to get to that finish line, I look at this month and specifically this road trip and say, you just got to survive it. Because this could be a month that turns into their death sentence. They're about to play, I'm not kidding, not only 10 games on the road in a row. You just heard it in the update. You heard Brandon Immo talking about it in 4 different cities, in 3 different time zones. But they're about to play 20 of 29 games on the road. And while the Mets have been a very good road team this year, it is asking a lot to succeed on the road 20 out of 29 times. So what I'm asking for, Teek, and I think it's reasonable, is to just survive the month.
Yeah, and but it's not going to be easy from a logistics standpoint. I think we hit this a few weeks ago talking about this road trip upcoming. But you're in Los Angeles, then you got to go to St. Louis for a day, and then you're up in Colorado, and I was just recently in Colorado. It was 100 degrees outside, the high altitude. I mean, I passed out, like literally passed out.
Doing what? What were you doing?
Standing, having a beer.
Jeez.
I had to go to the hospital because I wasn't used to the high altitude and the dehydration. And so imagine playing a game at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to be brutal. It's the middle of the summer. And then you're going out to Seattle. Obviously, the weather would be better. But all of those complications aside from the conditions, just the travel. Like, it's hard to live out of a suitcase and try to get yourself ready day after day after day to play baseball, even though some of these series, in particular the Angels and the Rockies, they should be ones you should walk through.
Well,
but still, you're on the road, and there are complications, and we'll see what they're made out of. This is the type of road trip that shows you we have the resiliency to weather whatever's thrown in front of us.
And I think what makes it extra challenging for a team built like the New York Mets is that they don't have an ace. When you have a dominant ace, when you have maybe 2 dominant aces, which is rare, but as we recall a few years ago, that's what the Mets were built around, then you've got that day once a week, once every 5 days, where you can throw your best pitcher on the mound, and even when the bats are tired, and even when you play a sloppy game, maybe that ace can lead you to an ugly 2-1 victory. The Mets are built on offense. Now, Can they mix in a couple of good starts here and there? Sean Manaea has certainly mixed them in at times. Absolutely. But they don't have that lockdown ace. This is a team where if they're going to succeed, they've got to score a lot of runs.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it even more difficult when you're playing a road trip like this where, yeah, they're not machines. This isn't MLB The Show where you turn the game on and you're playing the crappy Angels and it should be easy. They have to go to Anaheim, then a day in St. Louis, then 3 days in Colorado where poor Tiki ended up in the hospital, and then out to Seattle where MLB gave the Mets one final shiv by moving the Sunday afternoon game to a Sunday night game. So everything about this trip is difficult. And even when they come home, like they play Oakland and Miami, and it's easy to look at the opponents and say, but come on, guys, these are bad teams. These are teams the Mets should beat. I think we have to look at the human side of this and how difficult this truly is. And also with the way this team is built. Like, there are questions about this rotation. One question I have that won't be answered for a few more days is about Luis Severino.
Yep.
Like, Luis Severino in that game we went to.
Unfortunately, we saw it live.
We saw it live. His velocity was down. And he's already surpassed his innings total from any year since 2018. So it's natural to wonder, hey, what's Luis Severino going to give you through the dog days of August? Sean Manaea has been great, but it's fair to wonder about him, too. Is he going to be able to keep this pace up? David Peterson's pitching some of the best baseball of his career. Is he going to keep this up? I'm glad they added a fresh arm like Paul Blackburn, who hasn't pitched much this year because he had an injury. But this team is about to be tested in a major way, which is why I look at this trip and I look at this month, and I can't be fat, and I can't be arrogant, and I can't say we got to dominate. Like, if they can go 6-4 on this West Coast trip, I promise you, I will sit with you on that Monday after and say, hey, they did a hell of a job.
You know, I always find it interesting when teams, whatever the sport, end up taking something and running with it or getting galvanized by it. And it was many things for the Mets over the last month and a half, 2 months. Grimace thing, the OMG, obviously the whatever the slapping or the waving away of adversity, whatever the heck it is they do when they get on base with this, with the waving of their hands, whatever it is, it's propelled them. And there always becomes a question of, all right, you've been doing this for a month. Is it still exciting? is it still driving you? And now it's been 2 months. Are you still getting hyped up for OMG and Jose Iglesias' song? And or is it just the same old boring monotony grind?
Mm.
And the teams that I think survive that best find and create something new. Or find a way to re-energize whatever it was they were doing. So, to me, that's the mental challenge. Forget the physical challenges. And we talk about them, the travel and everything else, the altitude in Colorado. It's the mental challenge that I think this team has to find their wherewithal with, right? How do you keep yourself motivated doing the same stuff?
Yeah. I mean, the easy answer would be look at the standings. That would be my motivation.
True.
Like, they're not a wild card team now.
But
that would be my motivation.
Yeah, but you still look at the season and it feels like the end is a long way away.
2 months, yeah.
It's a long time until this thing is over.
Yeah.
But this is the most critical time for them.
It is. They have a chance, and I don't want to ring the alarm bells of worry, but let's just have an honest conversation. This month could be the month that dooms them. This could be the month where we're sitting here on Labor Day and the Mets are buried. And a part of why that's a risk is not just the schedule, not just the fact that they are daunting and having to look at two West Coast trips and have to play 20 of 29 on the road. But the other thing that's happened that has surprised me to a degree is that the other National League wildcard teams are playing well. Like, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres are playing well to the point where, despite the Mets being on the stretch that they've been on, where they've been so good for so long, and despite sitting six games above 500, they're a half game out of a playoff spot.
Yeah. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And honestly, 3 weeks ago, I don't think we would have predicted that. So I think a part of why this is such a dangerous month is not only the schedule, not only what they're looking at, but the fact that the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres, and credit to the Atlanta Braves, they've responded by winning three in a row. They're back to being 10 games above 500. Like, those three teams, and the Mets have to surpass at least one of them if they want to be a National League wildcard playoff team, all of them have played incredibly well. But you talk about creating fake motivation or just creating any kind of motivation.
It's real motivation because obviously it translates into success. But like you, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, it's almost like eventually you're going to get tired of it.
Right. So I got one for you.
Go ahead.
I got one that the Mets could use. And I kind of got the sense that Brandon Nimmo is already halfway there. We played a cut during the open. Not during the open, but during that update at 2 o'clock by Marco Belletti, in which Brandon Nimmo alluded to something that I'm kind of surprised about. Mostly, and this is a stereotype I have about athletes, they don't know the schedule. They just know, oh, yeah, we're playing that team tomorrow. Oh, we're going to that city tomorrow. And I've heard that from a lot of people in all sorts of sports. I've heard that from NFL players. I don't know if you were like that as an NFL player.
I mean, I'd look a couple of weeks ahead.
But you didn't know.
You don't really know.
Right. You're very different than Sean Morash and me. Like, I know the Mets schedule for the next month.
Right.
But I've always been under the impression players don't.
Right, especially for football because you're digging in for 3 days, solid days on one team.
Right, right.
And if you're distracted, forget it.
I totally get that. And maybe that is best for an athlete to not look ahead. But Brandon Nimmo said, we've circled this for a while. We knew a long time ago, this is a really rough
road. You mean the road trip?
The road trip. The road trips. Because remember, yes, the Mets are playing 20 of 29 on the road, but they're doing multiple West Coast trips in the same month, is very odd.
I wonder what that means. We've circled this. Like, hey, we're going to have to do a party here. We're going to do this.
Well, maybe
night.
It's just a chance to get away and let's bond together as a team.
Yeah, maybe. We got a day game at 3 o'clock in Colorado, 3:10 or whatever I should say in Colorado. We'll be done early. I know we got to travel, but yeah, let's get together.
I'm hoping that's not what he meant.
I'm buying dinner. Seriously.
Brewery tour.
You almost have to do stuff like that. Yeah. Just to break the monotony. Like, don't go crazy because you got to get up and play a game the next day or sleep in and play a game the next day, the next night. But still, it is to Sean's point. It's a chance to just, I don't know, be boys.
Look, whatever works. If Brandon Nimmo needs to go to a strip club in Denver, Colorado, he has more than my blessing to go do so, even though I have a feeling Brandon Nimmo will not partake in a strip club.
I would definitely say that's not happening.
But he did say, yeah, we've been aware of this. And so I didn't take it as they're planning parties. I took it as something you just said, which is sometimes over the course of a long season, especially baseball, this is really literally called the dog days of summer. There's a definition for this time of year that you've got to create things.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the perfect thing to create. Rob Manfred is trying to screw us. That's what you create. What other team has to deal with a schedule like this? Now, before you argue with me that Rob Manfred is not trying to screw the New York Mets, let me make this very clear. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying, to Tiki's point, if you're trying to create a new motivation, you come up with anything. So I think of the movie Major League. Remember that female owner of the then Cleveland Indians?
Oh, yes. I forget her name.
I forget her name in the movie, but she was hoping to tank the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
To then move them to South Florida. This was the era before South Florida had a baseball team. So the Cleveland Indians in that movie decided to have a poster board of the female owner.
Rachel Phelps.
And every time they won a game, they would take a piece of fake clothing off. So I think what Brandon Nimmo and Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor have to do is the same thing with Rob Manfred. You put a big poster board of Rob Manfred.
Oh, that would not be motivating.
You like that?
No, that would not be motivating.
Because you don't want to see Rob naked.
Exactly.
It's time to congrats, by the way, Brandon and his wife expecting the next child. So get that the Manfred name.
Congratulations to the Nimmo family. But anyhow, you can use that as motivation. MLB is out to screw us. It's like Boomer's line about the Rangers. It's the screw the Ranger button. It's the screw the Met button. They send us to Anaheim. They do a makeup game in St. Louis because of a rainout in May. They send us to Denver. They send us to Seattle. Then, after a nice homestand, they send us back to San Diego, Arizona, and Chicago. That's the fake motivation the New York Mets need. If you believe, Tiki, that they need something as they enter the month of August, because I think that works. Mm. They're out to screw us.
Yeah, I mean, they could. That one really is not going to last.
Why not?
Because eventually you just kind of realize, or someone smart in the clubhouse will be like, you guys, you know, are just making this up. Right. Like, what evidence do you have? You get the guy who's the contrarian, and all of a sudden he's just being anti whatever the narrative is in the clubhouse. And
there's always one in the building.
There's always one.
And also,
there's probably multiple of them.
And when you figure out, oh, that's right, baseball puts up the schedule about 17 months.
Exactly.
That's true. Right.
Don't forget, we just got next year's like 2 weeks ago.
I know. And Evan, one more point on the schedule. Forget the whole road trip. This weekend is even more important because no matter what, you lose when you lose with the Pirates facing the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, no, and look, that's a part of it, too. Like, there are so many National League teams bunched together that, and you can look at the positive of that. The positive is when you win, you gain ground on somebody. I think this is a real challenge, and I said this the other day on the Rico. I'll say this to you right here on WFAN. I believe the New York Mets' chances of making the postseason is a coin flip. I think it's really a 50-50 proposition. I believe in this team. I think they're a good team. Okay, so that's one of the positives. Yeah. I believe in the team. They're a good team. They've scored a lot of runs. This offense is legit. Mark Vientos continues to blossom as a star. They've had so many guys step up. So I believe in them. Number two, I like some of the moves that David Stearns made before the trade deadline. I think this bullpen is vastly improved from the way it looked a month ago. And with a couple of arms coming back off the injured list, it can get even better. The rotation does worry me. It's worried me all year. But overall, like, I think the team is good. That's the column of positivity. The column of negativity is that I'm surprised how good some of these other National League teams have played. How good Arizona's been. How good San Diego's been. You mentioned the Pittsburgh Pirates, Sean. The Pirates are a real factor here. And so I think when I sat here about a month or two ago, I thought 84 wins would be enough. I'm no longer convinced that's going to be enough.
There's too many teams still pushing.
Yeah.
There's too many teams still in it. And
too many teams playing well.
Yes.
Like, I think that new number is 88 wins. I think you're looking at having to go 88-74, which is getting to 14 games above 500. Again, where are the Mets now? They're 6 games above 500. They've got some work to do. Like, I think that's where they got to get to make the postseason. And then the third factor is, the schedule. Yeah, this is going to be tough. Like, I look at these 29 games, and a lot of them are against mediocre to bad teams. But if I'm being honest with you before the stretch begins, I would sign for 15-14. Like, I think they have to survive the month. They're probably not going to be in a playoff spot out of Labor Day. And then, with a lot of home games, do the damage in September.
Yeah. Think how deflating that'll be, though, if they're out of the wild card. Think how hard it was for them to work their way back into it. I still remember those conversations from a month and a half ago where people were saying, but there's 7 teams ahead of them. They're only 4 games out, but there's 7 teams. And then they made that up. They get into the number one slot, even though it was kind of fugazi only for a day. But whatever. They put themselves right in wild card contention. And if they fall out, think about the grind of getting back into it. Now, I know it's possible. And
it's where
baseball,
they are now, Teak. They're a half game out.
I hear you. I'm saying if they get 3-4, if they get back to where they were a month ago, meaning relative to the postseason, not relative to, you know, their 500 rating, but or record, I should say. But so if they get behind in the wild card again, and they got to think about how grinding and how challenging it was to pull themselves out of it, get hot, get on that streak, to do it again, that's where it gets, like, mentally, again, to me, it's mentally daunting. And that's when you find the makeup of your team, is when it's the mental as well as the physical.
This is going to be a challenge. And look, this stretch of road games in the month of August caps off with San Diego and Arizona, which are going to be 7 consecutive playoff games, essentially, on the West Coast. But if the Mets are going to make the playoffs, if my fellow Met fan still has that confidence that they're going to make the playoffs, they've got to find a way to survive this month of August, which begins tonight in Anaheim, California. We'll start off by hearing from the Met fans at 888-808-1019. What are your expectations as they begin this 10-game road trip? And do you think they can do it? Because you know what? As July's going on and they're racking up victories and everybody's feeling good, we're all feeling good. You don't sit and think about what August has in front of you. You don't sit and think about 20 of 29 on the road. You don't even comprehend, this is a really tough road trip. So where are we, Met fans, in terms of our confidence that this can be a playoff team? As they begin this stretch, they are a half game behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are 1 game behind the San Diego Padres. And right now, they are 2 games behind the Atlanta Braves. They're right there. But losing 8 out of 10 could bury them. We'll get to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Oh, one thing to look forward to. I'll debut this to you at 3 o'clock today. Sean is going to have a major problem with it. Tiki, I don't know what you're going to think. Last night, we didn't have any baseball. We had preseason football. I did watch a little bit of it. We'll get into the kickoff for a little bit later on. And so I had a lot of time after I packed for my big trip I'm going. So you know what I did? I power ranked the current general manager presidents here in New York City sports. Power ranked them.
Jeez.
1 through 8. I left the devil guy out. Who's their GM again? I forgot.
Mr. Devilton?
is it like Tom Fitzgerald or Ray Shiro or something like that? I forgot. You'll have to look
that
up.
Why did you leave him out?
Because I forgot about the Devils. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Tom Fitzgerald.
I was right about Tom Fitzgerald. Okay.
That's funny because that's my devil friend's name.
Really?
Yes. You know, no, it's Fitzclose. It's Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, close enough.
Right. That's who Tracy's on vacation with.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. My wife will never go on vacation without me. And I'm not saying I want her to.
Well, no, I was there for a few days.
Oh, but you were so loyal to the show, you came back?
That and Brooklyn had cheer. So.
Okay.
She couldn't miss cheer.
All right. I respect that.
She actually stayed. She didn't even go with us.
Is it the cheer or is it the, you know what? I want to be on the air with Ev. Which one is it?
It was, I wanted to be on air with Ev. I wanted my gift.
There you go. The Breece Hall jersey, which you left here, by the way. Shows how much you cared about it.
I forgot it.
So I have power ranked the 9 executives here in, well, it was 8 executives, but I will now include Tom Fitzgerald.
You're going to stick him on the bottom because you forgot. He was important enough for you to remember.
I'll have to reconsider. But I will give you the August 2nd, 2024 updated right now power rankings of presidents and GMs in this town. I'm sure it will cause a lot of controversy, but
nice.
I feel it's very important to do this at least once a year. So,
Sean, who do you think is going to be number one?
I think Cashman.
You think Cashman is going to be number one?
He's going to be number one.
I think that's the swerve he's giving us because everybody's going to look for Leon Rose.
Okay.
Okay.
That's his prediction.
I'm going to predict... Joe Shane.
You're going to go...
Because of Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks made him be like, dude, Joe is baller.
Fair enough. Those are your predictions. I'll give you those results coming up at 3 o'clock.
Do you have a prediction?
I'm going to go David Stearns.
David Stearns?
Just
to be a homer?
Oddball.
Just to be the homer?
That's right.
You couldn't take my list seriously if I named David Stearns. The guy's been here for 35 seconds. It was tough ranking him, to be honest with you. Like, I had a real battle on where to put him because of that. It's such a...
Well, you could judge him on the deadline moves.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm judging him on the deadline. I'm judging on his first offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm judging him based on results. It's just not... He doesn't have a record yet.
He brought Vientos up.
Yeah.
Kick Beatty down to the minors.
Evan's already ruined the list. He's already told us who's not number one.
Oh, I would confirm David Stearns is not number one. I'll tell you that right now, yeah. Bilotti is wrong. Pete Bilotti filling in for Tommy Lugauer, taking a nice vacation.
Hi.
Hi. Let's go to Mac in Manhattan. How you doing today, Mac?
Hey, how's it going, Evan? Tiki, love the show. You guys make driving through Manhattan a lot less miserable. But I got to disagree with you a little bit, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
As a Mets fan, look, the goal here is to make the playoffs. And I get that, you know, this road trip is not going to be the easiest thing, but 15-14 is not going to be good enough over the next 30 games. 500 over the next 30 games. If the number is 88 wins to make the playoffs, you're asking for lights out baseball to end the season. So I just think that we need to ask for a little bit more over the next 29, 30 games.
Well, let's start with this road trip. They're about to play a 10-game, 4-city, 3-time-zone road trip. Yes, against some mediocre teams, Angels, Cardinals, Rockies, Mariners. What is your expectation for these 10 games where you'd say, okay, I'm happy?
Yeah, I'd say 6-4 there. I would prefer 7-3. Got to be at least 6-4.
Okay, no, I'm with you on the 6-4, by the way. But break it apart. If you go 6-4 on this trip, you do your damage at home against Oakland, Miami, and Baltimore, and that's an Oriole team that has not played well. I think you think bigger with those 9 home games and think, hey, you better go 6-3, and then you survive San Diego, Arizona, Chicago.
Yeah.
And I think if you do all of that, you've now put yourself in which you're a little bit above 500 going into Labor Day and going into the stretch drive.
Yeah, it's still, what is that? That would be 16 wins in the last month or so?
Mm.
If
88's the number you got to get to.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Well, this is also why, and I want to have this discussion too, because I know some Met fans are dreaming about it, and they are having this discussion down south on I-95 over with our friends in Philadelphia, and that's the idea of this division still being up for grabs. Look, the Philadelphia Phillies are a flawed team. And I appreciate what the New York Yankees did. I really do. I appreciate that. They swept them, and the Mets are 8 games out. If you think about who the Mets are playing, and yeah, the Phillies have a very tough schedule too. The idea that the Mets are going to be able to make up 8 games against the Phillies in the next 2 months, I think is such a major long shot. In fact, what they're going to have to do, they've got 7 games against the Phillies in 10 days in the middle of September. Mm-hmm. They got to be within 3 games.
Yeah.
If they somehow get to 3 out going into those games, now all of a sudden you've put yourself in a position to strike.
Well, here's the challenge for the Met. The Met fan, because I don't think the Met player is doing this. I mean, Brandon Nimmo notwithstanding, since he plans out everything, whether it's the way trips or the home situations. But if you're looking at this as a fan, the Phillies have been struggling, and they also have a long road trip.
Tough one, too.
It's tough.
Tougher than the Mets, actually.
Tougher, definitely. They're going to Seattle.
Yep.
Then they're in Los Angeles for 3. And again, no breaks here. And then 4 in Arizona.
Think about that.
So they have a grind as well. And they are coming off, 4 straight that they've lost?
They've also been under 500 over the last 45 games.
Yep.
Like they have had an extended mediocre stretch.
Right. And then it gets easier once they get back home in the middle of August, because it's Miami and then Washington. But there's a good shot that they go, I don't know, how many of these games are they going to win? 2 of them, 4 of them on this road trip?
Oh, you think they have a disastrous road trip?
The Dodgers are damn good.
Imagine,
you know what I mean?
Imagine if
Arizona
could
steal these, right? I mean, it's one of those situations where they could come off of this road trip, and the Mets, if they take care of business, could actually be 5 or 6 games back.
Imagine that. Mets do damage on this trip, beat up all these bad teams. Geography doesn't mean a damn thing. Who cares about plane rides?
Right.
Phillies struggle, and we're sitting here talking about the Mets being 3 games out of first place. I don't see it. And I'll tell you part of why I don't see it is the Philadelphia Phillies have struggled. And I was actually complimenting them about 5 days ago before the Yankee series started. My compliment was they've been a 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not the worst thing in the world. To me, the key to a good baseball season is have 2 stretches where you play really, really well.
Yep.
And 500 the rest of the way. Just avoid bad stretches.
Yeah, your bad stretches are 500.
Yes, if you do that, you're a lock to win 90, 95 games. And the Phillies were doing that until they got swept by the Yankees. The Yankee sweep obviously kind of changed that just a little bit. I don't think, despite the flaws Philly has, that they're going to tank the way you just described.
No, I don't.
They'll do okay.
I'm not saying they are either, but I'm saying there's a possibility that they do.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been playing good baseball.
No, I know. It's an extended run of struggle. It's going to be very, very interesting what happens over the next week or so. And I give the Mets credit for this. The Mets have answered all the calls when things looked like they were turning. They started 0-5. They answered the call. They had one of the worst Mays ever. They answered the call. OMG concert. Oh, my God. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Astros. They answer the call. They answered the call after the 2 losses to Atlanta when Sal Licata tried to jinx us, right? I'm just kidding. They answered the call. They won 2 out of 3 against Minnesota, no matter how it ended. So they have, to their credit, to this point, answered the call at every turn. Can they answer the call of geography now? Let's go to Mo in Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
Evan, I think there's a good shot. We could creep up on Philly. Philly's had a pretty healthy year. You know, it's a long, long season. You know, they haven't been really hit with the injury bug.
Yeah, I think, they have, though. Bryce Harper missed time. Yeah. Trey Turner's missed time. But to your point, I think for that to happen, A, the Phillies have to keep struggling, and the Mets would have to do major damage on this West Coast trip and go 7-3 or 8-2, which I got to be honest, I don't see happening.
They've been pretty strong on the road this year, though. They've been playing really, really well without home cooking.
They've been a better road team than home team. Yeah, but I don't know if that continues necessarily when you've got 20-29 on the road.
As long as they keep hitting. We need Alonso to stop fishing for those low outside breaking balls, get a little bit more consistent, and with the rest of the team look strong. I mean, I'm really excited. I didn't feel like that a couple of months ago, I want to be honest with you, but I'm electrified. What are you?
I think that this offense has to carry them. And you mentioned Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso has played well out of the All-Star break. He's hit a little bit. I think we have been waiting all year for the carrying from Pete Alonso. From Pete Alonso to remind everybody who's doubted him, and he's had a lot of doubters over the last couple of months, that he needs to remind them who the hell he is. Because Pete Alonso hasn't had that extended, you can't pitch to him, carrying an offense kind of run. And over this road trip, in some hitter-friendly ballparks, specifically Colorado next week. What better time than now? I also think Brandon Nimmo needs to wake up. Yeah. I know he's been banged up lately, but he's been awful coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, but, I mean, that happens. You just hope it's not extended.
Does it count as extended yet? Because it's been like 3.5, 4 weeks. A few more weeks before I can say it's extended?
Yeah. No, it's extended.
Okay.
It's already extended.
I think his average...
Especially because he was so good.
Yes.
Right? We were talking about Lindor, and then in the next breath, you were talking about how good Nimmo was.
Yes.
And that it's been a while since you've had that conversation.
And even when he hasn't been good, at least he's had some of those clutch hits, which have been missing for him the last
year. Yes. No, and look, I mean, that's something that they're going to need. Because if they're going to have success on this trip, they got to hit. That is the identity of the 2024 New York Mets, besides OMG, a rally pimp, and a big purple stuffed animal. The identity is this lineup. It's not the rotation. It's not the bullpen. It's not the closer. It's the lineup. They got to go out and do major, major damage. They got a tough challenge tonight because the Anaheim Angels are a stupid franchise who decided at the trade deadline they shouldn't do anything. Mm. So they've kept a lot of their decent players, including Tyler Anderson, who's pitching tonight. Why he wasn't traded is beyond me.
This is very petty, but it's not a stuffed animal. He's a purple, fictitious character that used to be a burglar.
He's not a stuffed animal?
No, I mean, toys of him could be a stuffed animal, but Grimace himself is a purple blob, not a stuffed animal.
You know why I think I called him a stuffed animal? I think I've seen so many Grimace stuffed animals at Citi Field that I now think of him as simply a stuffed animal.
Well, that's not fair to a guy.
I'm trying to remember when McDonald's used to give them away. What was it? Was it a hard toy or was it a soft toy?
Mm. For a long time, they were hard toys.
I think they've always been hard toys. I don't think it's ever been a soft toy.
Interesting. So I should apologize for calling Grimace a stuffed
animal?
Yes,
he's not a stuffed animal.
You see what I'm wearing today, by the way? I'm wearing my Mercury Mets jersey. You guys like that?
I did not know that it was a Mets jersey.
What the hell did you think it was?
I don't know. I didn't read it. I just looked at it. I thought you were wearing Raiders jersey for some reason.
Raiders jersey. So it's funny. I'm wearing the Mercury Mets jersey that the Mets gave away last weekend, and it doesn't have any sleeves. It's got, what do they call it when you don't have sleeves? Sleeveless?
Tank top?
Tank top, yeah. So it's like a jersey tank top.
Yeah, it's more muscle shirt. A tank top is very thin on the shoulder.
I don't know the answer, so whatever you guys say the answer is, that's fine.
Okay.
It's a muscle shirt?
Yeah, I call it a muscle shirt.
Okay, so I'm wearing this muscle shirt, and of course, I don't have any muscles, so I put an undershirt on.
So it's just a shirt for you.
Yeah, so it's just a shirt, and I've had a few people make comments to me saying, hey, why are you wearing an undershirt? And I said, well, I took the train in today. I didn't drive. And I didn't want to intimidate everybody with these guns. Like, you know, it's illegal to take a gun on the subway. So how could I have two of them hanging from my shoulders?
I never want to hear anything about my puns again.
No, but in all seriousness, so I'm embarrassed by my lack of muscles. But I feel like this is a safe place. I feel like we all have a good relationship. So during one of the next commercial breaks, I'm going to take the undershirt off.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to do the rest of the show with my Mercury Mets shirt and no undershirt. So you'll get to see my guns ablaze.
All right.
Why are you so excited, Pete?
Man, I'm very excited. See the guns.
All of a sudden, he got all pumped.
Positive Pete? It's this chair, I'm telling you.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, so I'm going to show off the guns. Tiki, don't be too intimidated, okay? You sure you'll be all right?
No.
Oh. He's not sure.
I have to divert my eyes.
Yeah, it's very white. It's very, very white, I must admit.
You were just on vacation.
Look, I'm going to give you a preview. How white is my elbow?
Yeah, very.
I mean, it's disgusting, actually. I should tan myself, but the problem is I never go sleeveless. So if it's always covered.
Weren't you at the beach?
Yeah, and it was covered.
Why would you go covered at the beach?
Well, I wear a t-shirt, and the t-shirt covers my arms.
No, you got to go shirtless, dude.
It's the beach.
You're 40. Who cares? Have you seen what some of these people look like at the beach?
I got to admit, guys, until I go sleeveless in about 10 minutes from now, I don't think I've ever gone sleeveless. Like, I don't think there's ever been a moment besides walking around my bedroom.
Can you lie and just say, I have fair skin, I'm worried about skin cancer, like, type of thing?
Okay.
Because there is no reason you should not. You should wear a shirt on the beach.
What should I do?
Evan.
Be shirtless on the beach.
Shirtless?
Evan, we've lost it all in society. If you go to the beach today or a water park, you have people that look like John Runyon Jr. wearing thong bathing suits now. I mean, come on.
Right. And he's talking about the men.
Yeah, exactly. That's them, though. That's not me. I still am a little self-conscious about the way I look. But I'm taking a big step because in a little bit later on, I'll take the sleeve off.
Nice.
And I'll show you the guns.
Can't wait.
Let's go to Joe in Rockville Center. How you doing, Joe?
What up, Joe?
Guys, I'm a long-time fan of the show, guys. How are you?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's up?
Guys, I just want to make a parallel between what the Mets did this year and what they did in the past with Jose Reyes. You remember Jose Reyes when he led the league in hitting, and we knew he was leaving the Mets, and we didn't do anything at the trade deadline, and he wound up leaving. It's the same thing with Pete Alonso this year. Pete Alonso is gone.
No.
We're all going to get excited about this year.
No. It's completely
different.
We're not
going to go anywhere. We had a chance to get a haul for him at the trade deadline, and we got nothing. And now we're going to miss the playoffs in the 163rd game because we got bored.
I want to say this with very much respect for you because I like you, and you sound like a nice guy. We appreciate you listening. I don't remember a phone call that featured as many incorrect things as you just uttered.
Like what? Okay. Tell me what you mean.
All right, let's go. Let's start with number one. Number one, that Met team around the trade deadline, though they were decent, they were hanging in there, I don't think had the promise of this Mets team. That's number one. Number two, the ownership group back then was Jeff Wilpon and Fred Wilpon. They were never going to pay Jose Reyes. The Mets' decision around Pete Alonso isn't about not wanting to pay him because they're cheap or they were a part of the Madoff scandal. It's literally a, hey, do we think he's worth it? I think that's very different. I'll start right there. That is incredibly different.
Yeah.
The way the Mets treated free agents then versus the way they're going to treat free agents now. That's number two. Number three, the other thing that was so wrong at the end was they could have gotten a lot back for Pete. Do you really think that? This market was all about starting pitching. It was all about bullpen arms. Do you really think teams were falling all over themselves for a right-handed slugger having a down year represented by Scott Boras, who's asking for the moon? And the answer is no.
Yeah. Were there any sluggers dealt? Was there? I'm trying to
Jazz Chisholm.
But he's not traditionally, though.
No, I agree.
But
with
there
you.
There wasn't one, was there?
I'm trying to think. Like, not really. No. It was a pitching.
It was pitching. It was relief pitching. A couple of starters, but really it was all pitching.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was not a market for bats to be moved.
No.
So on every level, I disagree. The one thing I can't remember, so I'll go back on something I said because I don't remember how I felt. In 2011, a year that most of us just ignore from our brain because it turned out to be irrelevant, the Mets were good for a while, and then they completely collapsed, okay? So right around the trade deadline, the Mets were sort of in it. Now, I don't remember if at the time I, as a Met fan, I was right here with Beningo talking on the air. I don't know if I was gung-ho of, hey, we're good, we got to buy, hey, we're in it. I'm not sure how I literally felt about the team.
Yeah.
But I think at that time, I got to go back and look at the standings. They were above 500. So that may be the one thing that's the same. By the way, real quick, Sean, do you remember if there were two wild cards in 2011, or did they start that the following year? I think it was the following year.
Dude, again, you're talking about the blend-in years. It doesn't sound right.
No,
I think that was a one wild card.
It's the last year of the one wild card, if memory serves correct. And then the following year, they went to two wild cards. I ask that because I can tell you that the Mets were six games out of a wild card spot at the trade deadline. So, were they in it?
Eh. Ish.
Yeah, you're right. Ish. Only four in each league.
Yeah. So they weren't really even that in it. So I retract my initial retraction. It's completely different than what transpired with Pete Alonso. On every level, it's completely different. They could have gotten a lot back for Reyes. They had an ownership group that was unserious about competing and unserious about re-signing the player.
And then when you look at it from this year, Sean just told me in my ear, Jorge Soler went back.
That's true. He went to Atlanta. That's another one.
But I mean, he's not even really that big of a slugger. He's got 12 home runs.
No, like, nothing sexy.
There was nothing sexy.
But if you had to define one.
And
by
so
the way,
maybe
the
if
NL
Pete Alonso was on the market, he stands out above everybody else because nobody was getting moved, but it didn't feel like there was an appetite.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The NL wild card of 2011 won the World Series.
No, I understand, but the Mets were six games out of the wild card
spot.
I'm
just saying, if they're, you know, expanded, maybe the Mets get in there.
Well, look, it's a different world. You could do that for the rest of time. Like, everything could have been different. And then the other thing is, which I left out, Jose Reyes was having the greatest year of his career. Pete's having one of the worst. Like, it's just not the same. I can promise you this. And anyone who tells you differently, I think, is being disingenuous. The idea that the Mets missed an opportunity to trade Pete Alonso at this trade deadline is a fallacy.
Yeah.
That's not
true. I would agree with that.
Now, I will say, if you thought during the offseason or last year's trade deadline, I will at least say maybe you're right. That I'll give you.
because it's completely different during the offseason. Not sure what the market would be. He's not in the middle of a bad year. Like, I will give you, if that's the argument you want to make about Pete, it should have been in the offseason. It should have been at last year's trade deadline. While I disagree with you, I understand. You can't tell me the Mets were better off trading him at this trade deadline when, again, he's having a crappy year.
No.
They're in a playoff race. He wasn't going to get you a lot back.
And he's not a huge part, but he is a part of the success that they're having.
Right.
And so if you're trading him, you're also saying, okay, well, we're cutting our legs out a little bit to make in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So what's most important?
Right.
And it's making the postseason.
Yeah.
Even though it's not, you know, I mean, it's now the expectation, but it wasn't the like early season expectation of this team. It is now.
There was a person in baseball. I can't say his name. There was a person in baseball
uh-huh.
who gave me a Pete Alonso trade suggestion at the trade deadline. After the trade deadline had passed, and said, I would have done this. And it was the first time someone had given me a Pete Alonso trade where I said, oh, crap, man. I don't know. And I even responded. Who was what?
What was in the trade?
I will tell you that.
Yes.
It was average prospect plus Devin Williams, the closer of the Brewers, who's missed this entire season, just came back.
Yep.
He's been dominant for about 4 years in a row, and he's under team control for two more years for Pete Alonso. And I was like, okay. That's interesting.
Just like straight up.
Yeah. Devin Williams plus. And
yeah, because it was a little yet ad.
And I even said to the guy, I said, okay, that was one I would at least think about. You finally got me to think about one. But I don't know if that was ever really realistic. And by the way, if you make a trade like that, you can at least still sell that you're trying to win.
True. But does he close?
Yeah. Yeah. Does he close on this team?
Yes.
That's a great question. I probably would let him close, and I'll tell you why. I'm a mental gymnastics kind of guy.
Okay.
Edwin Diaz is the ultimate team player. Can't believe we're entertaining this discussion. He's not coming.
This is completely hypothetical. It's not even happening, and it didn't happen, so it is what it is. But let's say it happened.
Edwin Diaz has already proven he can pitch in the eighth inning. Edwin Diaz has already made his money. Mm. Devin Williams has not made his money yet.
Right.
And I would
say you're more apt to be okay being, well, say, demoted. Being the setup guy as opposed to the closer, because you've already been paid.
Well, I would sell it very differently to Edwin. I would show him film of Andrew Miller and what he did out of the bullpen in Cleveland, and I would say, this is what you can do. I may use you in the sixth. I may use you in the seventh.
Yeah.
I may use you in the eighth. Maybe sometimes I will use you in the ninth inning, and I'd play the mental gymnastics to get Edwin on board.
But that's hard because messing with your legacy a little bit.
Well, then maybe that's why they didn't make the trade.
Maybe, because it's a harder conversation than I think. Hey, you know, Andrew Miller was great in this role.
Right.
Edwin Diaz is like, dude, I want to be remembered for more than what Andrew Miller was.
No, I understand. That would have been something, but it didn't happen. Sorry. Let's go to Greg in L.A. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Evan. How you doing? Hey,
what's up?
Transplanted New York over here. Love your show, guys. And you guys definitely helped keep me from my mind turning to mush in L.A. out here where I've been for a few years. Evan, just read your book on vacation quickly. It was phenomenal. Thank you. Reading the story of my childhood. Only downside, of course. Yeah, coming to terms with the fact that I'm also a huge nerd. That was, you know, but it's okay.
thank you, man.
Headed to the games in Anaheim tonight, as I do for any games remotely on the West Coast, and I'm psyched. I do just have to respectfully disagree, Evan and Tiki. I think you kind of are both on the same wavelength that 15 and 14 is remotely acceptable. There are a lot of games in September.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Greg.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that, TK. That means a lot. Because I believe, you know, we have a lot of games in September against the Phillies and Braves.
Yep.
I just think it's time to clean up against the Angels, Rockies, White Sox, Marlins. Do not squander this opportunity. If we actually believe in this team, sweep the hell out of the Angels this weekend and start taking care of business now.
I'm thinking, Greg, 20-9. Give me 20-9.
20-9?
Seriously. Why not?
Because I don't think... You guys, listen. I want them to go 20-9.
Yes.
I want them to be better than 500. I'm trying to have a realistic conversation.
You just don't think that they can.
I think this is a daunting stretch of games. I'm sorry. It just is. And look, the one thing I hold out hope for is that Arizona...
Should they sweep the Angels?
Excuse me?
Should they sweep the Angels?
Based on how crappy the Angels are, I would love that. I don't know if they're going to do that. Hmm. I think it's more likely they win 2 out of 3.
Should they sweep the Rockies?
Again, same thing. Did they sweep the Rockies at Citi Field? They won 2 out of 3. Sure. I think 2 out of 3 would... Honestly, the way I map it out is 2 out of 3 against Anaheim, win the St. Louis game, mm-hmm. 2 out of 3 against Colorado, and I accept losing the series to Seattle. And if you do that, you're 6-4. Which we're all on the same page about.
Yeah.
What are you shaking your head about? What am I being a loser now?
No, you're not being a loser. I understand what Evan's saying, but Tiki, this is not meant to be negative. This is what the Mets are. They are every 10-game stretch a 6-4 type team. So to expect any more than that.
7-3 currently, by the way.
Okay. And I know that not every cut is the same.
Yeah,
but,
I know what you mean.
But that's all I'm saying is like they are not the kind of team that's ever going to dominate 29. I know they've gone on a crazy great stretch, but they've already, I think, done that and come back to the path. I think riding this thing home the rest of the way is going to be 6-4 stretches.
But then they come home and there's 2 sweepable series in a row.
Yeah, so here's what I'll amend it, okay? 6-4 on this trip. Mm-hmm. Do the damage at home and go 6-3. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you're 5 games above 500 in the middle of August.
Yes.
And that goes into the biggest stretch of the year against Arizona and San Diego. So I think it's better than 500, but I just don't think it's realistic to think they're going 20-9 in the month of August.
Just look at the day game with the Twins. That would have been a perfect. I know the Twins are better than the Angels. They're at home, perfect spot to. And you just don't make it happen. I think the Mets just, they don't have the kill shot in them.
Well, the other thing that I think they're going to need, and I hate to say this because it has nothing to do with the New York Mets, is they need the Diamondbacks, the San Diego Padres, to cool off. Mm. I mean, the Diamondbacks are about to begin a stretch of games against the Pirates and the Guardians. Okay, 2 quality teams. Then they play the Phillies and the Rockies. Maybe the Phillies get hot. Then they play Tampa. Then they have that big series later in the month against the Mets, and they do play the Dodgers. Like, the Diamondbacks and the Padres have to cool off.
Yes.
Because if it's going to take 90 wins to make the playoffs, then I don't think the Mets are making the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win 90 games.
And with that, as we sit on August 2nd, there are 0 teams in Major League Baseball on pace for 100 wins.
Crazy.
Shows you how bunched
they are. Is that right?
Yeah. You know why, though, Teague? Think about Major League Baseball.
When was the last time that happened? Is it ever happened?
2014.
14?
Oh, it used to happen a lot more than recently. So I think recently the reason why we've had so many 100-win teams is that there are so many tanking teams and so many really, really bad teams. So it used to be like special to win 100 games.
Yeah, the Angels had 98 wins in 2014.
Okay. That was a decade ago, which shows you that it happens a lot. But
Angels.
But look, yeah, they actually were good for a change. But look around Major League Baseball right now. Yankee fans got to experience this last night. The Baltimore Orioles have not played well for a month. So the Orioles have been bad for a while. The Yankees went through their major struggles. Mm-hmm. The Astros, despite playing well for a while, are still only 4 games above 500, tied with Seattle. The Dodgers cooled off for a while and still have. The Phillies have been mediocre for a month and a half. Like, and those are the best teams in baseball I just mentioned. So, yeah, the best teams in baseball have been real cold lately. It's crazy. It makes you think that everyone has a chance. It's why Yankee fans think, again, they can win the World Series, which they should have thought for months. But you know the way Yankee fans are, Tiki. They jump off the horse. They did that a lot. I'm talking to you, Sean. You quit 48 hours ago.
I'm back.
He's back.
It was a temporary quit.
Yeah. We'll get to the Yankees a little bit later on. They begin the opposite kind of stretch than the Mets. A chance to fatten up. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. We'll get Tiki's thoughts on the brand-new NFL kickoff rule. But when we come back, I'll unveil it. I do it only once a year. Our power ranking of New York general managers and team presidents. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.